Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
US markets had a volatile week, leaving investors in limbo. Where is Wall Street heading to? This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Idina Mumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, Peter Tuckman. Guys, so good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Glad to be here with you, gentlemen.
Good to see you guys. Peter, what are the most important topics on Wall Street at the moment? There are so many topics, but what is important, especially for you on the floor?
You know what? Look, it's been quite a week, and I think the most important thing, obviously, is the news coming out of China about Evergrande and whether the reality of that and crackdowns on crypto by the Chinese government, I think, are significant, having significant impact in the marketplace. They surely did last Monday. And then, of course, the Federal Reserve meeting, right? This was a very highly anticipated meeting, and the market responded in a positive way, really. You know, Federal Reserve days tend to be quite volatile. There's a lot of gyration in the market up and down as people are trying to assimilate and understand the news, right? The first thing that happens on Federal Reserve Wednesdays is they announce whether they are going to cut rates or not. And then at 2:30 New York time, we do have a news conference. And over those next 45 minutes, Mr. Powell describes the consensus of the 12 governors and what they really are going to do. And people really hang on every word of his news conference to try and understand how they are going to posture it. Once we know about the interest rate change or not, that's one little bit of news. Obviously, this week they held it steady and there was no anticipation they were going to change it. However, all the news going forward is either about tapering the purchase of financial instruments, whether they are going to start selling them at all, what is the timeline on that, and what is the timeline on changing interest rates. He did give us all of that in a 45-minute news conference. Net-net, it's very hard to understand because he does take two sides of the coin. We talked about the labor markets. We talked about inflation. We talked about the supply chain. We talked about the anxiety around COVID and the variant, and how that is going to impact the market. And one of the things we did talk about, which is a very U.S.-centric problem, is the fact that there is a huge demand for labor, yet people are anxious and wanting to go back to work. We have seen over the last number of weeks a suspension of the unemployment benefits that were offered during the stimulus package that came out of COVID, yet people are not going back to work. We see it here on the floor of the exchange. We have sort of opened up to a larger footprint, yet people are not going back to work. We're seeing it in the labor force. People are staying home, whether they're anxious about the variant or whether they're just, you know, they're so used to the shelter in place and they're just having some anxiety about getting back into the workforce. So the decision to start the taper, the decision to change interest rates will be, as always, a data-driven decision. And the story is an ever-evolving story about the demand for labor, when people will start going back to work, the supply chain issues that we saw interrupted by COVID. And so there's a lot on the table, a lot of unknowns, and we'll see how it goes going forward.
So a lot on the table. Salah, you brought us the chart of the week. You are looking into crude oil. So what's going on at the oil market?
Yeah, there's no so much crude oil on the table anymore because the inventories in Cushing, Oklahoma, it's the third time in the row that they are decreasing. And this is also one factor that is pushing crude oil higher, but there is also other fundamental effects. But let's look on the chart. We see since in August, we started the downtrend, which was significant because we made lower lows and lower highs. And now in September, there's no validation anymore of this lower lows and lower highs. We started picking up. taking over the psychological level of 70 US dollars. So this is really important now, even if we have Evergrande. And I always say crude oil is the last weeks and months is in hostage of the growth phenomena. Even if we see all expectations are going down, all prices going down. If we see euphoria on the market, that's where there's a positive correlation with stock markets as well right now. We see, again, all prices picking up. This is what we see right now. So in our setup trading idea with technical analysis, we said with a breakout above 70, we could see new highs. And this is also confirmed with the relative strength index, which is above 48.5. And now we are on a make or break decision. If we hold higher, then we can see definitely new highs above 76 US dollars crude oil.
Peter, China's banks said all cryptocurrency related activities are illegal. Is this now like a huge game changer for cryptocurrencies like the Bitcoin?
You know what, look, the whole cryptocurrency story is a fascinating one. The volatility and the risk is a fascinating one. The fact that people think it's a hedge against markets is a questionable thing, in my opinion, because it's so unknown. We really don't know that much about it. You know, I would think people use the SPY as a hedge. They use gold as a hedge. Historically, there's much more that you can bite your teeth into. I think the fact that crypto is being used as a hedge is sort of very unknown and causes anxiety in the marketplace. The news story about China and they're outlawing it. Look, we've seen headlines come out about crypto that have been very positive with the Elon Musk story, with the PayPal story, you know, that people are going to be using it in payment services, that people are going to be allowing it in banks. And so that grew the crypto excitement and enthusiasm to a certain point. And then you're going to see different parts of our economy and globally that are going to be resistant of the crypto story. For today, one day does not make a market. As we saw last Monday, everybody was down on the Evergrande story. The market was down 900 points at one moment, and the media grabbed a hold of that and started talking doomsday, talking 10% corrections. And I always say, one day does not make a market. And sure enough, we had 3 days post that sell-off on Monday that have been up back up another 1,500 points. Obviously, we're seeing a bit of a sell-off and a pullback on crypto on the news. It's a fast and furious reaction. We'll see how the story pans out. You know what? Crypto has shown resilience. It has shown volatility. It has major pullbacks. But at the end of the day, it feels like it marches higher. I'm not clear what the future will bring.
Yeah, Peter, we have heard about the housing crisis or the crisis of Evergrande in China. So there are a lot of people and analysts who are trying to compare it with the Lehman Brothers crisis in the US 2007-08. So do you see some parallels, or what is the opinion on the market or on Wall Street about this fear and this risk?
You know what? There are so many things that remind us of the countrywide story. Let's go back to 2007 and really look in the nooks and crannies of that story, right? So we saw, look, Wall Street always looks for good opportunities, and there are obviously some bad actors in the space too that look for opportunities that are dark, right? And the whole mortgage crisis, the fact that it became a predatory lending story about banks looking to lend money to people who really couldn't afford it, and they started packaging these mortgages, and then they started to fail. And then they repackaged them and put them in a bow and sold those boxes, those little bonnets to other people. And that story got very deep, very dark, very ugly. And obviously, it created the financial crisis of 2000, 2007, 2008. What we're seeing in China is the Evergrande story. And I've done, you know, limited research into it because I saw what a big effect it had on our market last Monday. But obviously, they are one of the largest real estate companies. They are a lender. They are over-leveraged. I find it a bit curious, which does mimic the story of 2000, 2007, 2008, is that a lot of the insiders in the Evergrande community did sell their stock before the bad news came out. that makes you wonder. There are obviously heavy regulations coming out of China about the mortgage, about the real estate industry there, which is not helping them at all. We have now gone through the last number of months where China has really decimated their U.S. equity markets here about the Chinese stocks due to regulations. We've seen the DDs, the Alibabas cut in half, right? So the Chinese story, the Chinese government is posturing themselves to really go back to a very strict socialist communist formation and foundation. They've made it clear. The headlines have been on the market now for a couple of weeks that rather than being that heading towards our way of government, they're going really back to a Maoist government. And that means regulation. That means non-transparency. So the whatever they're doing on the regulation side with Evergrande, what they're doing with cryptos, what they're doing with the other space of the Chinese equities here is really quite severe. I mean, we saw Alibaba go from a $300 stock to $150. We saw Didi come out as a IPO at $16.50 and it's trading at $7.50. We don't see really a bottom here, right, being established yet. So the Evergrande story could be big. There were rumors yesterday they were able to come up with one or two payments. Look, there's way too many unknowns here. When people will talk to me about do we buy the dip in the Chinese stocks, I would say, you know what, there's so many great opportunities in the market that have a lot of surety that I would rather be playing with. There's nothing to say that any of these stories are going to end well. So I'm leaving it with an I don't know. And I don't know is an acceptable answer to a story that relates to the Chinese government and whatever they can do to this market, whatever they can do to Evergrande, and whatever they can do to crypto.
Yeah, and what I want to add in this case is what people need to think about is as well that China, of course, learned from the crisis before with Lehman, and they know that they have bubbles around in their ecosystem, like the real estate or like Bitcoin, because people had not only the chance almost to invest in retail, in real estate and not on the capital market, for example. So maybe they are going to try to cut the bubbles before they burst and to have a much more risk for the whole international community. So maybe this is something that they take as advantage to save risk that can be much bigger than right now.
You know what? There are reports that this could be huge. And then there are reports that it's not as big as we think. So right now, curiously enough, the market here in the U.S. reaction on Monday was fast and furious. There was no follow through. What does that say? Are we disengaging the story? Is it not as bad as it is? I would just think that we are more resilient. And the only thing that we could be affected, look, what happens in China doesn't always have a contagion effect on the U.S. What happens in China real estate markets does not necessarily have a contagion effect here. It could. This story could really blow up in our face. And next week, we could see it really affecting our markets in a way, way bigger way. But you know what? There's sort of a bit of a wall between our economies. Even though we are trading partners, our relationship is a bit contentious at the moment between Biden and the president of China, and in so many ways, the lack of transparency. So once again, I say I don't know.
Peter, last quick question. What do you think? Where are the markets heading to? Are there more uncertainties in the market? Will it be more volatile the next weeks?
You know what? Look, I think you should ask that question to Salah. He is our seasonal guru, but look, we and I would love to know his opinion on what happens, coming into mid-election years. What is that about? What happens, the weeks after a Federal Reserve meeting? What will happen with the anxiety around the November meeting? The Federal Reserve did say last week that data permitting, an unemployment story evolving, that they would make some kind of a decision about an actual timeline about the taper at the November meeting. Is that going to be a anxiety-creating situation? Perhaps. But as I'm somebody who is here on the floor of the stock exchange watching the markets, I would say the market is doing what it wants to do. And everyone laughs at me when I say that. But the market tells us what it thinks about all this information, right? We've yet to see a solid follow through. Yo, look, we talked about the Rosh Hashanah Jewish New Year trade. We did have September as a seasonal darker time. We did have 7 or 8 down days. We then had that piled on by the Chinese story, which made the market last Monday sell off quite hard. But we've seen an incredible rebound over the last number of days that really gives me a sense that there's still an appetite. We had a couple of IPOs open here in New York. We had ONON, which is a Swiss sneaker company that opened up and did incredibly well. We had Dutch Brothers, one of the first IPOs we've seen since August, open up. And the bet, it opened at a premium of $10 and went up another $20. So how do I analyze that? The market tells me what it thinks of all this information. The market has been incredibly resilient throughout all of COVID, throughout the economic global shutdown, throughout the anxiety about the variant, throughout the problems with the unemployment. The market forges higher. So what do we look like at the end of the year? Markets tend to, in market, you know, look, and I will defer to Salah on this, but look, we're in the last quarter. I think the Federal Reserve meeting will have an effect on the market. I think the way the evolving Delta variant story will have an effect on the market. Will it be a long-term negative effect? I'm not clear. Once again, I'm going to go with my final answer is I don't know.
And maybe that's the correct answer, right? Because we all don't know and we don't have the crystal ball. Guys, thank you so much.
Let's ask Salah. Salah, seasonally, what does the last quarter look like in a year like this one, in a year where there was an election, we have a new president, we have a new administration? What does the last quarter historically look like for those years, sir?
So what I always say is the year-end rally is one of the rallies that is quite often not disappointing us, like the Santa Claus rally. So even if we are in a past election year, it's a still good quarter. So in seasonal, historically, we have seen a bullish bias in the last quarter, beginning mid-October.
Okay, there you go. Now you know, Manuel. You mean, so Salah, right after the... we always have Black Monday in October, right?
Exactly.
So people's psychology goes back to the crash of 87. And I think the first week of October tends to be a bit of one psychologically, historically, seasonally, a lower one. And then we do see a Santa Claus rally coming into the end of the year.
Exactly. And there is a good path for it because, like you said, the market is telling what to know. And if we look, the Fed last week, the expectations that they're going to rise interest rates before 2023 is still really low. So that's why this is also it's pushing also the markets because we still will be on hold on to raise interest rates if we assume exactly from now on. This is what we can know now, but tomorrow the market and the world can change, of course.
Guys, again, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and your answers. Guys, thank you, Salah Dinemoumidi, the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman. Guys, thank you so much.
Have a wonderful
week, guys.
And this was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thank you for watching. Take care.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.